This podcast is produced by the National Association of Broadcasters and powered by Blog Talk Radio.
Rulemaking proceedings, translator application updates, and license renewal tips. There's a new chief of the audio division at the FCC, and we'll be hearing from him shortly.
Breaking down the issues, interviewing thought leaders, learning from fellow broadcasters. From Washington, D.C., this is the NAB Podcast. Here's your host, Josh Miley.
Glad you're with us. This is the NAB Podcast, powered by Blog Talk Radio, and we have a quick but information-packed episode planned for you today. Our compelling conversation comes from the 2018 NAB show. Back in January, Al Schuldiner took over as audio division chief of the Federal Communications Commission here in Washington. The audio division licenses commercial and non-commercial educational AM, FM, FM translator, and FM booster radio services, and the non-commercial educational low-power FM radio service. The division provides legal analysis, broadcast, technical, and engineering radio filings, and recommends appropriate disposition of applications, requests for waivers, and other pleadings. So it's safe to say it's a division stations like yours have contact with, which is why we wanted to talk with Al. Conducting today's interview is NAB Associate General Counsel Larry Walk. Let's pick things up as the two delve into the issues the Audio Bureau is currently focused on.
One of the questions I've been wondering is, so what are some of the larger policy issues your division is working on at the moment?
Well, there's a couple of big things going on right now. We're very focused on the three auction proceedings for translators that we have going on right now. Really focused on cross-service translators for AM stations looking to get FM translators. Although the public hasn't heard very much about this yet, we're working very hard on the transition from the CDBS database to the LMS database, which should take place later this year. I know that's not an exciting topic, but that will have a fairly significant impact on the way things are done. And
well, if it doesn't go smoothly, you'll hear about it.
Right, right. But I think from everything we're seeing, I think things will go very smoothly. There's a tremendous amount of work involved in this transition. You know, there are forms, there are documents, there are things like that that all have to be changed. But we think LMS will provide a more up-to-date platform, a flexible platform for us and the public. And I think it'll be good when we get there. It's just a little bit of a process to do that.
It's been a long road.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And then the last big item that's going on right now that I'll mention just came to us from Congress, which is the recent budget bill included $50 million to compensate radio broadcasters that are impacted by the TV repack. We're working on the plans for that rulemaking proceeding right now to decide how to distribute those funds to assist radio broadcasters, and there'll be a lot more going on about that later this year.
NAB worked very hard on helping Congress understand the significance of that extra money for radio stations. It was just something that wasn't anticipated going in, but it was an easy story to tell.
And I think it's going to be really beneficial for the broadcasters that are impacted. I don't think it's going to be every broadcaster that has an issue, but for the ones that do have issues, it's good that there'll be some compensation to take care of the problems that they're going to face. And we're going to flesh that out in a rulemaking and figure out who gets funding, how much funding, and how that's all going to be dispersed, and that'll all be going on over the next year.
Well, the repack of radio stations, it should be interesting because they're going to have to sort of time it maybe with the TV stations on the same tower, and everyone wants to minimize the amount of time they're off the air and hopefully do it in the middle of the night, but the weather has to be good. There's so many factors that go into it. It's interesting.
And it's really going to depend on what stations have existing auxiliary antennas, which ones don't, and how powerful those are and how easy it is to move. And so there are a lot of issues we're going to have to grapple with.
Well, you did mention the cross-service translators. That's an issue that's near and dear to NAB's heart. And we're thrilled, and the whole radio industry is just thrilled with the progress that's been made, especially on behalf of AM stations, being able to get and use translators now to provide service at night when they couldn't before, to have a better signal to fill in during the day. There are broadcasting commuter traffic and early school closings and other things that happen before and after the sun is out that they just couldn't do before. High school football games, a lot of good things, and it really has been a big difference. And it's amazing how the division has just processed the thousands and thousands of applications to move translators and to get new frequencies and resolved all the MX situations. It's really been quite a process. Then again, on the flip side, as some have noted, the FCC, the industry, can almost be a victim of its own success, because the huge influx of new translators sort of carries with it an inherent risk of more interference on the FM band. More translators, more services on the same band with a finite real estate, things can happen. To that end, about a year ago, NAB filed a petition for rulemaking that proposed some policy changes to try to give translators more flexibility to restore some of those problems and suggest some ways to facilitate the FCC's process for resolving interference conflicts that come up. What's the status of that issue and that petition?
So let me talk a little bit about what we're doing on the translators, and I'll talk a little bit about interference. So we have processed a huge number of translator applications over the last year or so, and it's been very exciting for us. We have granted 780 new construction permits from the 2017 auction window. We expect to issue about 160 more construction permits by the end of this month.
Wow.
And there are only 26 applications that ended up being mutually exclusive and unable to settle. And those are scheduled to go to auction in May, I think around May 15th. So that means in the next few months, we will have completed the process and granted about 950 new construction permits from the July 2017 auction. So a huge success for us to get that processed and get those construction permits out the door in a relatively very short time frame.
I think I saw a story or a note that when all is said and done, more than half of AM stations will have a translator.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
And then we also have the 2018 auction window, which was in January. We got an additional 874 applications in that window. We've already identified 667 of those as singletons without any mutually exclusive exclusivity problem. We've invited those entities to file their completed applications so we can grant those construction permits, we hope, in June. Last week, we released a public notice identifying 159 mutually exclusive applications and granting the opportunity for those to settle. We're going to move quickly to process those singletons. So we expect a total of about 750 new construction permits from the 2018 auction window, in addition to what we were processed from 2017. So in terms of the translator interference issue that you're concerned about after all these construction permits are issued and translators go on the air, we have looked at that issue. Basically, what's presented to the FCC, the NAB and one other petitioner asked us to look at what we can do to help streamline the process for resolving interference complaints. The main issue before us in that context is trying to provide flexibility for translator stations that have are experiencing interference to allow those translator stations to move to a different frequency other than a first, second, or third adjacent frequency as using a minor modification. We also were asked to try to quantify what is necessary to have a bona fide complaint and whether we should require a minimum number of complaints to be presented, and how to standardize the information that are in complaints. We're looking at all this information right now. We hope to have something to announce in the near future, so I'd say stand by on that issue.
Well, let's just quickly turn to something more focused on FM radio stations. There has been talk of a proposal of a new class of FM service, the Class C4 FM service. Can you explain a little bit about what that is and maybe what some of the pros and cons involved in that proposal?
Sure. So we had a petition for rulemaking on Class C4 that really focused on two main issues. we were asked to consider creating a new FM broadcast class that would be between Class A and Class C3, the existing Class C3, and that would allow, essentially, Class A stations to increase power to an intermediate level between Class A and Class C3. But the other part of this proposal that was presented to us was to create a process to reclassify stations so they receive interference protections based on their actual operations rather than their class maximum. So stations that are operating below their class maximum would only be protected to the extent that they, you know, their actual power
kind of
levels.
Kind of a triggering mechanism.
Exactly. I think people are aware that there is a draft NPRM that is circulating among the commissioners. There have been a number of recent presentations to the commission about this, expressing concern about creating new interference in the FM band, especially in light of the large number of new translator stations that we've authorized in recent years. I know the commissioners are looking at all of these issues. We'll have to wait and see what comes from this.
And just one final question. A new cycle for license renewals is right around the corner. What do you have any tips or advice for stations that are getting ready for their next license renewal process?
I can say we're already getting ready for this, and I would encourage broadcasters to start getting ready as well. We are, you know, starting the process of how we're going to process renewal applications. I point out a couple of things. Broadcasters may have noticed we're looking closely at rule violations and non-compliance issues, and I would encourage stations to start making sure that their paperwork is in order and they correct any non-compliance issues. One other issue I'd highlight is most stations have complied with the new online public inspection file requirements, but unfortunately some have not. And I think that may come out in the renewal process. I would hope that stations would focus on fixing these types of problems now when they have time so it doesn't have an impact on renewals and we can make that as streamlined as possible.
Well, I guess I would just say thank you very much for joining us. I know you've been to the NAB show many times in your prior life, but welcome to the show as a member of the FCC, and we look forward to hosting you for years to come.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Larry, and thank you, Al. Also, I have a quick follow-up note from Larry. Please be aware that subsequent to the recording of the previous interview, the FCC announced that on May 10th, 2018, it would propose new policies for streamlining the rules related to interference caused by FM translators and expedite the resolution of translator interference complaints, some of which track the proposals offered in the petition filed by NAB that the two discussed. Please read NAB's newsletters for future developments. Now, before we go, just a reminder that resources, including legal filings, council memos, and our NAB policy blog, are available at nab.org for everyone. They're located under the Advocacy tab on the homepage. Also, NAB members, if you have questions about the issues or topics discussed in this podcast, you can contact NAB's legal team. Just call 866-682-0276 or email legal@nab.org. Now, if you're not an NAB member, we'd love for you to join our ranks. Contact NAB membership at 202-429-5400 or email membership@nab.org to discover how joining benefits your industry, benefits your people, and benefits your bottom line. That's it for today. The NAB podcast will return soon with another NAB show conversation. Until then, you can catch up on our past episodes at nab.org/podcasts. Have a great week. I'm Josh Miley, and this has been the NAB Podcast, powered by Blog Talk Radio.